I would like to share the word of God. Can you open up your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1? And we'll start at verse 1. And I want to talk to you about gaining God's perspective. I like to write with my right hand, so we'll just put it on this side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us your word. You say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, we are so dependent on the living manna, the living bread, the bread of life. I ask you to open up your word to our hearts and minister to us as we have need of each individually here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jeremiah, we'll just find it here. Chapter 1. Gaining God's perspective. And I have 4 points here, and I'll be brief. The first one is in the first couple of verses. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom, here it is, the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign, also in the days of Jehoiakim, also in the 11th year of Zedekiah. So what do these things point out to? God's position for Jeremiah was that he would be at a point in time. And God's very specific. This is a historical book. It's not a man-made book, a white man's book. This is God's word. And God decided when Jeremiah should be in the timeline of history. He should live at that point in time. And he would reign during this king and the second king and the third king. And he even said which month. God has so also decided when you would live in the timeline of history. Some of you are older and white-haired. Some are younger than me, middle-aged. Some are teens and kids. And God decided when you enter, where exactly where in history you will live, and when you pull out, like in the funeral I did this week. God has decided at which point in time. But not only that, also the place. It says there he was from Anathoth. So he decides which place in the earth you will live. That's why you're in Edmonton today, because God decided you'd be here this morning. He could have just easy put us in Beijing or Kinshasa in the Congo. He could have put us anywhere on the earth he could have put us. But God has us here today for his eternal purposes, of which we don't know why, but he does. And he is doing his fabric behind the scenes for a very specific reason. So God, position for Jeremiah was that, but he also has for you a point and a place. I also want to point out the next verse, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. God's plan. God decided who would be really good at living in the bush, living as fishermen there, living in the Inuit areas where there's no trees, but there's wind and snow and cold. God has decided that. He would decide who would be able to play the piano and just bless me. He decided who would be good at giving a coffee to somebody. Okay? And somebody had to go and make those cookies. Oh, those were good. I could tell they were homemade. Those aren't like store-bought. which is so good. God has given different gifts and abilities. For some, he's given lots of money that they can help people in need, or that they can support missionaries. Or one day, a 90-year-old lady gave me her truck. She says, I don't need it anymore. It can be used for missions. God has decided. He has a plan. Not just for Jeremiah. Like for Jeremiah, he gave him a soft heart. And he cried. He is called the weeping prophet. He just cried over his people. See, God put Jeremiah on the planet when God's people were turning away from God, much like our country today. We're turning away from what the Bible teaches us to do. That's when Jeremiah lived, and he had to watch his people go into captivity. He had to watch Jerusalem be sacked and the temple be destroyed, and the people were killed in the battle. And he wept, and he wept. And it tells us how long he was. It tells us he was during the reigns of those three kings. So he was a minister of God's word for more than 40 years. It's a long time to speak to a people that's very discouraging back. They're not responding. We're kind of like in that way today. Our country doesn't want the things of God, and yet we go and we share. When I was in this wake this week, there's a wake one night, wake the second night, funeral the third day. I watched an elder got up and he preached wonderfully. Deep man of God, good message from Noah. And they were laughing and talking as he's preaching. I couldn't believe it. I thought they respect their elders. They say that they do, but they didn't that day when I was there. So then I had fear and intrepidation. I'm to preach tomorrow at the funeral. And there's lots of traditionalists. They don't want the word of God. Lord, help me. I need your help. The third one, the purpose, is in verse 5. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God sanctified him. That means like consecrated him, like dedicated him. That's what sanctified means. It has the idea of hallowedness and holiness. That's what God wants every one of his people to be, so that you can be a minister to those around you in the workplace, in your family, like even me to my unsaved brother-in-law. He's not walking with God. But God wants us to be holy so we have power in our witnessing. God wanted that of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah did. He walked a holy life, and he could preach boldly to his own people that were rejecting God. But it says, not only did I sanctify thee, I ordained thee. You know what that means? It says, I ordained thee there to be a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah didn't just talk to Israel, Judah. He is speaking to us today. And we're from many nations here. I just love coming to your church because you're multicultural. I just love that about you guys. God loves all the nations, including the First Nations. God ordained him a prophet. That means God appointed him to a role to fulfill. And just as God appointed him, God appoints you to specific roles. Maybe some of you are to serve at the Bible camp. Maybe some in Sunday school. Maybe some to lead a Bible study. When I was coming from the grave, well, I wasn't coming from the grave. I was at the grave, and it was very traditional, and the drumming and the rattles and the smudging and this and that. So I just stood at the back, and a man came up to me. He said, are you going to be at the feast? And I said, yeah. He said, I need to talk to you. I wondered, oh my, is it from what I have said or whatever? I went to the feast, and he came sat at my table, he said, I just came back to the Lord in March. Oh, I said, well, then you will want to read the Bible every day. He said, I already do. Yay! I was so encouraged. In that darkness there, God was doing a work. And God is bringing this guy back to himself, and he wants the word. And he said, and I would like Bible study. Asking for Bible study. That is just thrilling. I'm so excited. That was just such a highlight this week. God was ordaining Jeremiah to what he was to do. Only you know what God is ordaining you to do, appointing you to do. You see something here that doesn't quite fit the flow? What happened here? It's like God's out of the picture. Yes, it's a P, but it's a small P. It's kind of squiggly. My problems. God wants me to do what he set me out, what he planned for me, and he ordained for me, appointed me. And then look what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said in verse 6, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. Anybody ever told you, I can't talk? That's how I felt coming to this funeral. You know what the funeral was? The widow was a lady that drifted from the Lord. Used to be in Bible school. 1 week before her grad, she dropped out of school. Then she married this guy. This guy is a strong traditionalist. Strong. And so she wanted a Christian funeral. They wanted a traditional funeral. And they decided on something a week ago, but then they didn't hold to it. They were wanting traditional stuff in there. And she was just crying. And I was talking to a lady at a truck. And I said, I think I need to go and comfort her. So I walked over there. And what's happening? Well, they're trying to force me to have traditional. And she says, they're so mean to me in the way that they say it. It's a very scary thing to walk away from the light. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. There is nothing I could say to mitigate that. That this is what you've chosen. You married an unbeliever. Now you bear the fruit of that. I didn't say that to her. But that is the reality. I didn't think that was the right time to say that. In the time of grief and anguish. Problems. So I thought, I'm stepping into this. My last funeral was when I was living on a reserve. Lord, how do I speak in this situation where the deceased doesn't know you, the widow walked away from you, there's strong traditional stuff, like maybe they'll just force me to stop talking? Like it's happened before. You come, you've been asked to do stuff, and the traditionalists just take over and just won't let you. So I came in there not knowing how this will work. Like, Lord, I can't speak. You think God knows about what we view as a problem? Look where the focus is here. It's on the problem instead of on the triune God. God wants to minister in whatever your problems are. And he's far greater than them, and he can handle them. He said, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I can tell he was afraid, because in verse 8 it says, be not afraid. I'm just looking at my notes here. He said, I can't speak. He said, I'm a child. I am afraid. I'm afraid. You know what God said to him? And here's God's provision, the last point today. God's provision is these three things. So it's in verse 9, the provision. Well, the first one is in verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. So his presence, we have God's presence with us. Presence. I have a hard time with English. Is that presence? No. Is it? Yeah. Presence. God's presence is with us. God is present here in Edmonton. He can help you with whatever he has asked of you to do. What he commissioned you to do, what he appointed you to do, he will help you to do it. He helped me there. He really helped me. I was told I could speak 40 minutes. God helped me to do it in 20. Can you believe it? John Siever, 20? Yeah. God helped me. God's presence is with Jeremiah. God's presence is with you. God, look what it says in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. He touched Jeremiah's mouth. Jeremiah says, I can't talk. So God just touched his mouth. Could God touch our area of weakness, our area of problem? We say, I can't talk to this person in the workplace. Well, God can give you the words. He gave you the mouth. He gave you the tongue. God can do it. He did it for me this week. And the third thing is, another green one there. Look in verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. My words, plural. Not just one verse, but there's a whole Bible here for you and you and you. Words, plural, in your mouth. God gave Jeremiah the words at a very difficult time in the timeline of history when the country was sliding into the judgment of God. And God gave him the words. Our nation is sliding towards the judgment of God. God can give us the words right at this point in history. He has a plan for you. He's appointed you. Are you gaining God's perspective for you as an individual, for you as a family, for you as a church? I'd like to close with this thought. God says in verse 8, be not afraid. God says in verse 17, be not dismayed at their faces. The first one was, be not afraid at their faces. And verse 17, be not dismayed at their faces. They rhyme, afraid and dismayed. You look at them, and you go, oh, I don't know, Lord, if I can do this. God says, don't be dismayed or afraid. What does he say instead? Verse 18, look at it in your Bible, verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, and the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. God says, I've made thee a defense city, like well fortified. You're okay. What? Because I am with you, God says. I'll be your provision. I give you your purpose. I have a plan for you. I love the last line of the chapter. We'll end with that. For I am with thee, saith the Lord. What, to drown thee? No, to deliver thee. When Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 14, get in the boat, I'm going to see you on the other side. So they get in the boat, and Jesus goes up on the mountain and prays. And they go, and it gets stormy. And they think they're not going to make it. They actually thought they were going to drown. If they would just stop and think, did God really want us to go out here to drown? No, he said go to the other side. Then he means for you to make it. God means for you to make it in your workplace, in your family, in your church. God means for you to get to the other side. So God says, for I am with thee, saith the Lord. To deliver thee, not to drown thee, but to deliver thee. Oh, how we need God's perspective each day. So when you wake up in the morning, just say to the Lord, Lord, how can I bring honor to you today? It's not about my job. It's not about my family. Lord, living is about you alone. Like you sang, in Christ alone, you sang that song. It's about Christ. When we stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, it won't be about our farm or our degree or the money we had or the houses we had. It's all about Christ, eh? All the rest will just pale into insignificance. It's all about Christ. So as I told an old man this week, I said, when you wake up, why don't you just say, Lord, how can I honor you today? And then say, Lord, how can I serve others? How can I bless others? With God's perspective, we can do that. Thank you. Sure. Lord, who are we? We are just nothing apart from you. But 0 + 1 = 1. 0 + 0 would be nothing. But Lord, in you, we have everything that we have need of. And Lord, we just want to bring honor to you today. Lord, our hearts cry that this church brings honor to you in this city where you've planted them. And Lord, different ones are wanting to serve you in different ways. I think of Carl Cruz and Anna. I buried the only son they had. They had no more children. So they adopted somebody from another ethnic race. They reached out to serve others. Now they want to bring the gospel to native people. Or like the newest family we just met in July that joined our mission. He was an electrician. He was over 15 electricians. He had a good salary. He has lots of children, 7. One died. But he says, I'm willing to go and be a missionary, living by faith. People here can do that too. And they are. And Lord, I just pray you bless them, give them courage as they walk by faith, as they serve those around them, as they honor you each day. Lord, just encourage them as we live in a dark period in history, like Jeremiah. But Lord, you didn't mean us to drown, but you meant us to thrive. So we just surrender ourselves to you daily, all over again.